You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Friday, February 7th, episode 3622, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse people.
It's Friday, and another weekend of riding is a few short hours away. Jamie and Glenn are here to help you make it through the day with some fun guests and some really bad ads. Enjoy the show.
Well, we do have a fun show planned for you today. We're going to take a look at what our listeners think are approved Valentine's gifts for horse girls. So I'm helping the horse husbands. I'm America's horse husband. I have to help them out, find things to buy. I have no idea what to buy. So we're going to find out what our listeners say is a good approved gift for a horse girl. My guess is it's not the same as for non-horse girls.
I'm not the one to ask because I don't do Valentine's Day. Now, what my husband does is his business, but I'm not a Valentine's person. So we'll find out.
does he try and do something or?
Yes, it drives me crazy. Like we don't even celebrate our anniversary. We're like, oh, by the way, that was last week. Hey.
Yeah, we're kind of that way too. It's like, oh, that was last month. We missed it again.
Yeah. We missed it again. And this one I'm like, oh, it's just so stupid. Please don't do anything. But I can't, you know, I mean, if he buys me a ton of hay, like I'm not gonna argue.
All right, we'll discuss.
But he just won't do it. I'm like, pay my vet bill.
We'll discuss how I kind of feel about when we get into what the listeners say. And we're going to replay one of Jamie's favorite interviews. The other day, you mentioned that one of your favorite, and I don't know what we were talking about, but you mentioned that one of your favorite interviews was the director, John Fusco. And I looked that up. That was 6 years ago.
Oh my gosh. I love that interview. That's the guy that wrote Young Guns. He wrote Spirit. I mean, he's like an iconic director. He was just, and then turns out he was like super fun. And you know what? I got to be honest. Maybe it's different in my head than it will come out when we listen back.
I listened back to it this morning and it was such a good interview and it went all over the place. He was so kind. He spent like 25 minutes with us. He came on right before the movie The Highwayman came out. And that's when he came on. But he talked about everything. It was a cool interview. So that's why I thought it'd be fun.
Okay,
when
good.
Today.
Good. So it was as good on the air as it was in my head. Because
yes,
I like to sometimes change things in my head.
Well, he's a big horse guy, too. There was horses involved in the interview. So
yeah.
And then we got some really bad ads for you today. In the post show, I just have a couple announcements for auditors. And I have a Reels clip I want to play. So we'll do that in the post show. It'll be a short one today. When we connected this morning we do a pre-show meeting for about 15 minutes. It's nothing big, but there's a lot of noise. You were disconnected. What the heck is Chad using your computer for video games again or what?
Oh gosh. Yeah. You called and I was like, hold on.
What is all that noise?
So I had to take everything apart to use my computer and the way that it was intended, you know, like as a computer. No. So I told you that my son is on his archery team at school and he qualified for the state championships, which is like amazing. He's like number four in his whole school. Like it was so cool. So he qualified for state. And so for the state qualification, you have to get your hunter. This is so stupid. This is the first year they've ever done it. And it's been a hot mess, but you have to get certified and complete your Oklahoma Hunter Education online course. Okay.
What?
Literally,
he's shooting at a target in a basement.
Yeah, he's in a gymnasium shooting at a target from 15 yards. Like, I don't know. But he
There's
has
no deer running
complete
in front of him.
No, hunter education, firearm safety, wildlife identification, wildlife conservation and management, survival in the woods, archery, like this. So He has been very diligent doing it, but everybody has the flu and the state championships are Wednesday. So I was like, it's not like it's educating him. He's standing in a gymnasium shooting a target 15 yards away. So I started taking, it's like very extensive. So I started taking the course 2 days ago. And Glenn, I would like to point out that I got a 100% in my tree stand safety test. I know how to set up and break down and safely climb in and out of a tree stand. Now, many of the other tests I have failed, and then I have to retake them and redo the whole thing. Yeah. But I got 100% in my tree stand safety course.
Is this just so a way stupid. To collect fees?
It's free. I don't understand.
I don't get it either.
But yeah, Oklahoma Hunter Education Online Course. And so I'm having to watch people. Okay, me, vegetarian, don't hunt, would never hunt. I'm having to watch people shoot ducks out of the air and use their technique to safely shoot above their retrieving dog. And then how to safely load a dead deer into the back of your Ranger.
Okay, I'm laughing because I can just picture you watching this.
And I'm staring at this dead deer that they're like loading into the back of a Ranger, like, oh, I'm like, oh, poor little thing. And then,
things
like,
you do for your
did
kids.
You know? Did you know that when you're hunting abreast, you have a 45-degree angle to shoot ahead of you because you do not want to shoot people to your left or right? And I learned all about the different ways to carry your firearm depending on how many are in your group and how you're walking. And I really got some extensive training on how to cross through a barbed wire fence with your gun. Like, what?
Well, when the zombies come, you'll be ready.
I am ready. I will be in a tree stand before you know it.
Shooting the zombies at a 45-degree angle.
Yes, exactly. Loading them into the back of my Polaris.
I could just picture this whole scene.
I took pictures. I took pictures.
You should have done a video of you watching it. That would have been great.
Oh, you know who got home mid? Anna got home halfway through it, and she came up and she's like, "Watch it." She's like, "Why are you doing this?" I'm like, "You sit down and you will watch it with me."
Is hunting as big a thing in Germany? Did she say?
I don't know. I don't think so. But what is terrifying is that I own mallard ducks and I'm watching them shoot mallard ducks and having the dog bring it back to them, and I'm like, my poor ducks.
Next to be out there with his bow and arrow shooting the mallards.
Unbelievable. Yep, there you go. So that's what I've been doing. That's what I was doing. Now, what is this thing about the microchips?
If you have a microchip on your animals and it's with the company Save This Life Microchips, they are no longer in business. Apparently, they went out of business and their database is... They have unlinked their database from the National Registry, so it's like gone. So if you do that, then you need to re-register with a different company. There's Home Again, PetLink, AKC, Reunite. There's a whole bunch of them out there. But
So I have Home Again, and I get an email every year, and it says, you know, time to register your dog. And I'm like, but I already paid for the microchip. Like, are they now, if I don't pay the $20, are they not going to share information?
I think that's what they're doing. Would get Jennifer, so basically, which one do we have? Microchip. Found animals? Do we pay a registration fee every year?
No.
No. Okay.
Okay. Well, I feel like they're going to be like, I'm sorry, we can't share that information unless you pay us $20. Like, what?
Yeah, but if you have that, if you have Save This Life microchips, which I had never heard of, apparently they're out of business now. And of course, this weekend is something that I know Jamie's house looks forward to, and the Super Bowl.
Oh, man.
Super Bowl's coming up. And we've already seen the good commercials, so there's that.
I mean, go Falcons. What? Who's playing? I don't know.
The Eagles, kind of like a duck, actually.
Go Braves!
If you want to root for a bird, root for the Eagles. And of course, Taylor Swift's team's playing too. So there's that.
Oh my gosh, that is so triggering for some guys when you talk about Taylor Swift's team. They get so mad.
I don't know. For us, it's just an excuse to have junk food and watch some commercials. That's what I, you know me, I don't like music all that much, so I never watch the halftime show.
This halftime show doesn't really excite me, but in the past, I mean, when Beyonce did it, let's go. I remember when Prince did it and I was like, yeah, this is amazing. And then I don't know who it is. Kendrick Lamar, I think.
Yeah.
I'm not up to date on my top 40 hits, Glenn.
Yeah, me either.
Like I was watching, like I was reading like who won Grammys and I'm like, I don't know any of these people.
I was the same way.
And I'm like, wait, Beyonce just won country? What is happening?
You know, I went and actually, because that's the one with the weird cover of her and the horse, right?
Yeah.
And I went and actually listened to a couple of songs, because you know me, I'm not much of a music person. And I didn't think they were country at all, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I mean, country hadn't been country for about 30 years, oh, that's so true. It's fine.
On that note. It feels like a Friday the way we're rambling on today. We have a couple.
I forgot about Daily Winnies.
A couple of auditor birthdays this weekend: Shay Abelson, Roxana White, and Marie Cornell. Marie has been on every Horse Lovers cruise we've ever done. So happy birthday to all of you.
Well, I have two, but you don't have to play it twice. First one goes to Cindy Holcomb. That name might sound familiar to you, Glenn, because she won the pair of Cavallo boots on Radiothon.
Okay.
And she contacted me and said, I don't own a horse. So I have asked Cavallo Boots, Jenny Mundell at Cavallo, to send them to Horse and Hound, to you to use for Horse and Hound horses. So super sweet. They just came in the mail this week, and I just wanted to say thank you to Cindy for that. Also, I have a new horse in training, and you know, a lot of times if I'm doing something with a horse and I get confused, like, or I need some help, I will send a video of what I've done to Monty and ask for some additional like help, like how better can I do this? And typically what happens is he tells me how I've done everything wrong. And so I was like, you know, in an effort to not get yelled at this time, not yelled at, but he lets me know how he feels about what I've been doing.
Well, he's at that age where he can say anything now.
Yeah, he's almost 90. There's no punches pulled. No. Like, there's no, I'm worried about your feelings. It is like, you're lucky to be alive, basically. So preemptively, I called him about this horse because this one is really interesting. And I'll keep you guys up to date on what we've done. But his name is Titan. Okay, are you ready for this? Now, mind you, I have one arm. So Farm Boy, I ask him, I this person called like, hey, I just need this horse sent to you for a couple weeks. I don't need you to ride it. It just needs some groundwork, because it's a fox hunter and I can't fox hunt him anymore. Okay, why? So his name is Titan. He's a half draft. He's a big draft cross of something. And what he does is, I mean, he is a monster. He is ginormous. And what he does, if he doesn't want to do something, apparently he's perfect to ride. Angel to ride, but his behavior on the ground leaves something to be desired. And so I asked Farm Boy, I'm like, do you want to take this on? And he was like, yeah, sure. I've only got him a couple more months. I'm like, let's do something. Apparently Titan decides, and again, 17 hands. I want you to imagine a big half draft, giant black and white pinto, like just a monster. What he does is he just decides to leave when he doesn't want to do something. She's like, I can't get him in the trailer because he sees the trailer and I walk him up to the trailer and he just takes off.
You know how we always said if horses only knew how big they were, we would never do anything with them? Well, this one's figured that out.
He knows. He is well versed. And so I'm like, okay, what else does he does? I'm like, does he tie or cross tie? She was like, yeah, he totally does. He's fine. I mean, until he wants to leave and then he just leaves. Oh, okay.
We found a smart one who figured it out.
Yeah. And I was like, so does he load? No, he sees the trailer. Actually, she was like, actually, if you're just leading him somewhere and he doesn't want to go there, he just leaves. So
you can't do anything about it. He's 17 hands, one ton.
He's 17 hands and a ton. He is ginormous. So we started working on him yesterday after I called Monty, and he explained this whole process to me. And I was like, great, thank you so much. And then Debbie called me later and she's like, did you understand any of that? I'm like, no, because it's in his head. And if something's in his head, it is very clear to him, but not always clear to me. And I was like, if you could just possibly like ask him to draw a diagram of like that, because, and I said, oh, so what happens is, you know, they can't lead him anywhere, and they've had men on both sides with lead ropes. And he was like, that's the worst thing you could possibly. I'm like, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. It wasn't me. He was like, well, what are you doing with this horse right now? And I was like, he just got here. I swear to God. Like, I was like, I'm going to preemptively call him to ask for help, because I know that this is going to be a mess. So anyway, thank you to Monty for giving me some of his time. And thank you to Debbie for handling making the phone call. And Titan, we have some big ideas for you. I messaged his owner and I was like, I talked to the boss. We're on. We've got a plan.
All right. Well, we have to get updates on this monster. For sure.
Yeah. Well, we started him yesterday. And so I told Farm Boy, I'm like, listen, just do a join up. Like, we're going to start him from scratch and just kind of see where the holes are. And so we did the join up. Perfect. We do a part where they come up to us and we touch them all over, called vulnerable areas and feet. Perfect. We go and we pick up all 4 feet. Perfect. He's like, he's real good at picking his feet. And then he goes to do, and I was like, okay, I want you to take the dually halter and just do some leading, you know, back and forward, side to side. And he was walking forward, goes to the side, goes to the other side. Barrett goes to back him up, and he's like, nope.
Peace out.
So I'm like, okay, I see it now. And he was so perfect up until that. And I was like, oh, okay. This is where we're at. So I'll keep you guys.
What causes the switch?
Yeah, no, off. Just if he doesn't want to do something.
Yeah.
He just leaves. He just leaves. So I'm really excited to have a new challenge, or to have Farm Boy, because I mean, this horse towers over me.
I was going to say, you couldn't do this one without 6'2" Farm Boy.
Oh, by the way, he also, you can't catch him. That's the other fun thing. So that I can handle with one arm, but the not catching. And so I put, he's wearing a halter, like a breakaway halter in the field. And I go to bring him in yesterday, and I'm like, I'm just going to bring him in and take him into the stall. And then that's where they eat, and everybody else is already in. So he should walk right in there. And he walked right in, but he literally drugged me. And I was like, okay, so we have some work to do on the leading portion of things.
Aren't you the one with the broken wing?
I have a right arm. It's fine. It's fine. Yeah, it's fine. But anyway, so I will keep you guys up to date on Titan. And I was like, could you have a more imposing name? Like, that's really scary. His name is Titan. Also, I just wanted to thank everybody who has. So on Wednesday, I did a kind of like, I want to do an informal poll. Now, I would like to thank all of you who have messaged me that horse personalities are different depending on their upbringing, their training, and all that. Yeah, I know. I just wanted to know, who's your worst horse and what color was it and what was its markings? And who's your best horse and what color was it and what was its markings? And I'm just doing a very informal, basic poll on if you go to bed at night and you dream of that one horse that was a super angel, what did it look like? And if you go to bed at night and you have nightmares about that one horse, you were like,
this is the kind of formal poll that we do here on this show. This is as formal as it gets.
Yes, I know there's many other attributing factors. I don't care. I just want, what color was it? And which was a good one? And what color was it? And did it have a blaze or a star or whatever? And then what color was the bad one? And that's all I really care about.
We're talking emotions here. That's what
emotions. Yes. Emotions. Yeah. And so anyway, I have like over 200 comments on the Facebook post. 100 emails. Because I said, for the auditors, I posted it on the auditor Facebook page. And those of you who haven't submitted that to me, that are listening, that are not auditors, email it to me, jamie@horseradionetwork.com. I want to know the good one. What color was the good one? And what were the face markings? What color was the bad one? And what color was the markings? I would just, that's all. It's not science. It's me. But I will tell you that through all of the emails and comments, there is one that is standing out as the worst behaved horse. One color.
Color-wise, you mean? Yeah.
Color-wise, yeah.
Red
and
chestnut.
Don't even get me started on blue eyes. I'm not even taking those into consideration, okay?
All right, so we're going to have results next Wednesday, right? Is that what we're shooting
for? I'm hoping for Monday. I'm going to sit down and I literally need a spreadsheet. It is insane how many colors of horses there are and how many markings there are. So it's going to take a lot of work, but I'm going to get it to you guys. And we are going to have a color winner and a color loser. And I would also like to say that many of the best horses also fell into the worst horse category for other people. So again, not science. Don't take my advice on anything. I was just curious because there's one type of horse that is very difficult for me to train. It has been very consistent. There's one color that comes to the farm and Farm Boy and I are like, oh no. But so I just wanted to see if that was normal. Don't everybody get mad. Don't not buy horses that are this color. Don't buy horses that are this color. Like I there's no science involved. It's just simply asking questions.
All right. Well, we know one company that is good no matter what color, and that's Kentucky Performance Products. We're going to hear from them. And then we're going to go to our interview that we did 6 years ago, pre-COVID. Everything's pre-COVID or post-COVID now, with John Fusco, the director and writer and horse lover. And we're going to replay that for you because it is one of Jamie's favorite interviews and we haven't heard in a long time. So we thought that you would enjoy it as well. After that, we're going to talk Valentine's Day gifts, some really bad ads, and a little bit of a post show. We have a very special guest today, John Fusco. You all know him for writing blockbuster hits involving horses, Young Guns, Young Guns 2, Hidalgo, Spirit Stallion of the Cimarron, Marco Polo, and 69 other movies. What you may not know is John is a horse guy and has been involved in the preservation of a certain breed of horses here in the U.S. Fusco is also a blues musician and into martial arts pretty seriously. He has a new film coming out called The Highwaymen, starring Woody Harrelson, Kevin Costner, and Kathy Bates, which follows Texas Ranger Frank Hammer and ex-partner Manny Gault on their hunt for Bonnie and Clyde. Well, John, it is so exciting to have you on. And before we talk about your brand new movie coming out, The Highwaymen, I have to say that I literally cried when Marco Polo went away. I was so addicted to that when I heard it was not going to be there anymore, I drew a tear. I love that show.
Thank you so much. You and me both. Yeah. It was quite an adventure. It was as epic in the making of as it was the show, you know, taking us around the globe from Mongolia to Kazakhstan, Malaysia, Borneo. And, you know, for 2 years, you know, we were able to make, you know, 20 hours of you know, premium television and a story that I'd wanted to tell all my life.
Oh, it was beautiful. And of course, we know that you rode Mongol horses and did that for a little while. And of course, there were tons of Mongol ponies in the making of that movie, which must have been fun for you to do, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, it's the Mongol horse culture is just so fascinating and deep and rich. And you know, and connected to my love for Native American horses, and so you know those breeds, you know, are you know genetically identical in so many ways. You know, they all tend to be genetically 13-2 hands, tough, solid little horses with mule feet and 5 lumbar vertebrae, and you know, long manes and exotic coloration. So you know. I've always believed that, you know, we talk about the Spanish horses that came to the Americas, but I believe there was also an influx of Mongolian horses up into, you know, into the northern plains. So for me to go from my native horse love to the Mongol culture was a smooth transition.
I think we're going to see that story be told next. I mean, you've got to give us a documentary on the history of the horse.
Yes, well, you know, it's informed a lot of my movies because, you know, back when I was writing Spirit, Stallion of the Cimarron for Steven Spielberg and DreamWorks, I was doing my research into horse history, and I realized and kind of found that the true, pure Native American horses that you see represented in Remington and Russell sculptures was still extant and that certain esoteric herds had been jealously guarded and protected by different tribes. So you had like Havasupai horses, pure blood Cheyenne, Ute horses. And there had been an old cowboy back in the early 1900s who dedicated his life to preserving them and keeping a herd together. What happened was when I tracked down his story, I found where those bloodlines had gone. And in fact, I found his defunct registry called Horse of the Americas in a trunk in Fresno, California. Oh. And bought a registry out of mothballs, bought some of the original bloodlines, and put together a breeding herd that then led to a recrudescence of the Horse of the Americas registry, which is now a thriving umbrella registry for Spanish colonial horses.
Wow.
Wow. Just doing some research, you found all that. That's absolutely amazing. And thank you for saving a breed like that. I mean, not many people can say they did that. Now, you talked a little bit about how the story, first of all, you mentioned the Spirit Stallion of the Cimarron. And as a teenager, when that movie came out, oh my God, as a horse crazy teenager, I absolutely loved it. Did you, when you were writing it, did you think, you know, Spirit needs to be voiced by Matt Damon?
No, I didn't. I didn't think of that at all. And, you know, when DreamWorks was running different names by me, I was intrigued by Matt, and Matt really wanted to do it. And, you know, it's funny because I did not meet him because I worked for 4 years on Spirit, you know, which is a much longer process than on most movies as a writer. But, you know, animation is just so elaborate. And I would come and go. I, you know, I would write my script, and then I'd go off, work on something else, and the concept artist would work forever, and then they'd bring me back out to look at what they put together, and I would keep writing. So when it got to production phase and Matt came in to voice it, I wasn't there. And I did not meet Matt until years later while making Marco Polo, and I walked into a bar in Beijing, and I saw this guy with a New England Patriots cap sitting at the end of the bar, and that's what intrigued me. And then someone else I knew in the film industry said, oh, that's Matt Damon. And I walked up to him, and I said, hi, Matt. And he looked at me like, okay, it's going to be, you know, an American tourist. I'm going to say hi. And I said, you know, John Fusco, I know I wrote Spirit Stallion of the Cimarron. He jumped up out of his stool and hugged me. Oh. And we ended up sitting down and talking for the longest time. And he said that his children, he said, no matter what he's done in his career to his children, he was Spirit. and he said, the kids still watch that over and over again. But yeah, Matt really was a good choice for it, as was Bryan Adams with the soundtrack.
Oh gosh, yeah. I mean, I can't hear Bryan Adams without thinking about Spirit or the Kevin Costner movie where Bryan Adams did Everything I do it for you.
That's right, yeah.
Great choice.
At one point we had Garth Brooks was going to do it. Then we had Paul Simon actually did a test version of a soundtrack, and it was like we just kept, you know, trying to find the right voice, the right sound, and Bryan Adams just came in and just nailed it and brought so much heart and soul to it. That soundtrack never gets old for me, even though.
Man, Paul Simon would have been a whole different thing. Same with Garth Brooks. So
I know. Yeah.
Well, I gotta tell you, John, we've covered about 100 over the last 10 years. We've covered about 100 top 10 lists for top 10 horse movies of all time, and Hidalgo is always in the top three. Always in the top three.
Yeah.
Everyone.
That's great to hear. No, and that was another one that came out of this, you know. It's, you know, when I was doing Spirit and I put this herd together, I suddenly had a herd of 33 pure colonial Spanish horses from different tribal strains outside my window while I was riding. And so that's why I wrote, you know, probably the first animated horse birth in the history of cinema, because I watched it happen. I put five foals on the ground naturally. No vets, no, you know, I had a wild preservation herd out there, and it was like, you know, hands-on research. And, you know, my wife said to me, "I'm just glad you're not writing about elephants."
because or giraffes. Bring home
a herd of horses. But, so then, digging deeper into that, I learned about Frank Hopkins and Hidalgo. And so, you know, when I was putting all this money into preserving these horses, you know, and someone had asked me, they said, "You know, you're spending a lot of money on these horses." I said, "Look what it's giving to me. I mean, you know, there wouldn't have been a Hidalgo if I hadn't brought these horses here. Spirit wouldn't have been what it was." And those horses just gave so much back to me creatively, and, you know, have been a big, big part of my life. And my end goal in this, if you could call it an end goal, you know, first of all, I have to say that, you know, I didn't save these horses. There has been a sort of underground community of conservators scattered around the country who really care. And that's how I was able to find some of these bloodlines and put together this horse of the Americas herd. What I really wanted to do was get these horses back to their respective reservations and get the young people working with them. You know, these horse cultures like the Lakota and Cheyenne and the Chickasaw and Choctaw. One of my projects was to restore the endangered Choctaw horse, which is the horse from the Trail of Tears that literally carried, you know, the people along the Trail of Tears. There was less than 100 left in the world. You know, they are a critically endangered breed. And so I ran a special, like, so I have sub projects, and one was the Choctaw Preservation Project. My goal was to get those horses back to the reservation. It never happened. And I was kind of heartbroken about it. But just recently, I started working with the Chickasaw tribe in Oklahoma. And Chickasaw Choctaw horses, essentially the same subbreed that came along the Trail of Tears. Well, it now appears that the tribe is very interested in bringing home their Chickasaw horses to their people and to their lands. So I'm very excited about that.
Well, listen here, John, I live in Oklahoma and I have a farm, and I'd be happy to house any wild horses that you want to give me. I'll take care of them.
Yeah, Jamie has a couple of Mustangs, and we work really hard on all the shows here on the Horse Radio Network for Mustang adoption. So, yeah. So
That's great. Now, these, you know, I have to say that these horses, although they're called Spanish Mustangs in some circles, or I earlier said Spanish Colonial, that's furniture. It's actually colonial Spanish horses, or that we call them the CS horses, very different than the BLM Mustangs. That's not to say BLM Mustangs are not, you know, a beautiful, iconic horse that deserves preservation, but these are the pure horses, the descendants of the horses that came over with Cortez and DeSoto.
Right.
They did not go away. You know, the U.S. cavalry came in and killed a lot of stallions from those native herds and introduced Morgans and larger horses so they could adopt the incredible endurance traits and survival traits of the Native American horses, but bring them up in size. So they would, because they, you know, they were obsessed with size. But so that's how you got the BLM Mustangs. And while you look at their feet, they've got the big hooves.
Right.
If you look at a pure colonial Spanish Mustang, they've got these little mule feet, we call them. They do not need to be shod. They can go anywhere. They're so hardy. And they are, in my opinion, and I know a lot of your Arabian people are going to get their hackles up, but I believe they're the finest endurance horses in the world. Those horses and the Mongolian.
Spoiler alert. I feel like we all knew that you would say that, considering Hidalgo kicked the ass of all of the Arabians in the movie.
Oh boy, did I have the Arabian crowd.
I bet you did.
Let me say, I love the Arabians, and you know, it's all connected. I have a horse who's a Cheyenne buffalo runner. His name's Little Fox, and he's a crazy roan. He changes color 4 times a year. And he was a fantastic endurance horse. And I was training for the 100-mile endurance ride in the state of Vermont.
Oh, yeah.
And We were doing 18 miles a day before breakfast. And he came to love our training so much that one morning I decided to give him an off day, give him a day off. And I was in my bed and I heard this sound clopping around on my porch. And my wife went and looked out the window. She said, "Oh my God, little fox is down on the porch."
He's
and
ready.
He had gotten let himself out. He got out of the paddock and he came up and was literally under my bedroom window, walking around on the porch. He loved it so much. Sadly, he tore a muscle in his leg during our training, and we had to pull out at the last minute. But I love endurance. I love the whole endurance scene.
Well, we do have to talk about a new movie that's coming out. And I noticed that when we looked at your list of movies that you've written for, almost everyone has a horse in it in some way, shape, or form.
And before we get to the Highwayman, I have a question because I really need to know this because this was, it's just important to me. Accepted wisdom, John, is that Pat Garrett killed Billy the Kid. But yet in Young Guns 2, you have some Bill Roberts walking around telling the tale. Do you think that he really was still alive that whole entire time? What's the story?
Well, you know, Rushy Bill Roberts claimed to have been William H. Bonney, and he was actually eventually granted a pardon by the governor of New Mexico as Billy the Kid, and pardoned for his crimes. A lot of what he told, a lot of his stories lined up, and there were people who remembered Billy the Kid who confirmed that it was him. The jury is still out on that one, and there's kind of a rivalry between, here in Texas, in Hico, where he was from and where he's buried. They claim that that's the home of Billy the Kid, and of course, Lincoln County doesn't want to hear it. You know, it was, to be honest, it was just when Young Guns became an unexpected box office hit and I was approached to do the sequel, I knew that my version of the sequel is the story of Billy the Kid that's been told 42 other times.
Right.
Going back to the days of Sonny Mac Brown. And I felt I've got to do something very different here. And what hasn't been done, and I've been always fascinated by this Brushy Bill story and thought, what a great way to frame the story. So I can't say one way or the other, but I do know that I created a whole lot of trouble.
I do know that you also created, to me, what is the greatest soundtrack in movie history, which is an entire album of cowboy movies, cowboy songs sung by none other than John Bon Jovi. I mean, does it get any better?
Yeah. You know, when I wrote Young Guns, One of my go-to soundtracks to write to was Wanted Dead or Alive.
My best friend.
And so John Bon Jovi heard about that, and he was a big fan of Young Guns. And he and Emilio Estevez were good friends. And Emilio told him, that Fusco used your soundtrack when he was writing. And so I asked Emilio to go to Bon Jovi and ask him if we could use Wanted Dead or Alive in Young Guns 2. And he came back and said, I don't think it works because we talk about a steel horse and it's kind of, too much of a rock and roll song, but I'd love to write something new.
Hence, for the ready? And wake up in the morning and I my head. I got an old coat for a pillow. Okay, I can do the whole song.
Yes, it's last night's been.
I don't know where I'm going. Only God knows where I've been.
I'm a devil on the run. A
six-gun
lover.
A candle in the wind. Boom! Oh, golly, my life is complete right now.
So I'm shooting in New Mexico late at night, doing a night shoot, and a van pulls up, and John Bon Jovi gets out of the van with a battered acoustic guitar case. And we go into Emilio's trailer at 2 o'clock in the morning. He takes out his guitar and a folded up notebook sheet with handwritten lyrics. And I see at the top Blaze of Glory. And he played the song for me and Emilio. It was the first time anyone heard it.
Awesome.
I still have that notebook sheet with those lyrics. And that was it. And so another crazy thing happened that night. And this always happened when people would visit the set. You know, I heard the song. I said, that's it. That's going to be in the movie. That's going to be Blaze of Glory is going to be our theme. And he said, okay, while I'm here, you know, could I do a cameo? Can I be in the movie? And I'd like to get shot. Now, Tom Cruise showed up on the set of Young Guns on the first one, and he said the same thing. We shot him. Randy Travis, we shot him. They, for some reason, they all want to get squibbed. So we put 20 squibs on John Bon Jovi, and we put him in the pit with Lou Diamond Phillips and Kiefer Sutherland for the big escape scene. But then the guys, you know, because it was 3 o'clock in the morning, they all got me and they said, you're going in the pit too. So if you watch Young Guns 2, when John Bon Jovi comes up out of the pit, that's me with him, with the long hair, with the cattle brand.
It is.
And I strangle the deputy with my handcuffs.
Oh my God.
And I get away. John Bon Jovi gets shot 20 times and blown back into the pit in a blaze of glory.
Going down in blaze of glory.
When you were a teenager, you never pictured that whole scene ever happening in your life.
That's right. It was crazy. But to your point about a horse and everything, I will say that we don't see any horses in The Highwaymen, but that does not mean that I did not write horses into the script.
Well, there is a horse, though, in the trailer.
What's that?
There is a horse in the trailer.
Do we have a horse?
There's I think it's one of the sheriffs or something in the trailer riding along on a horse shooting at the car. I don't know. That's what was in the trailer.
Oh, you know what? Son of a gun, you're right. You're right.
Do you want to know how I know that? That horse is one of our listeners' horses, and she let us know about it.
Wow, you know what? Okay, I feel better now. You're right. You're absolutely right. It's at a prison break scene at Easton Prison.
Yes.
That the prison farm guards are on horseback. And yep, you got it. But I had written in, Frank Hamer had a beloved horse named Bugler. And Bugler was his last horse in his life and was an aging horse. And I had written him into the script. And he was quite a character in the beginning. But because Frank Hamer actually lived over on Riverside Drive and we were really leaning into the theme of, you know, this collision with modern day, hewed more to authenticity. And, you know, he was driving his truck around those back roads mostly, but I did attempt to get Bugler in there.
You started this project, The Highwaymen, in what, 2005, I read? You've been playing around with this one?
I was actually a little earlier than that because I was standing out in the desert shooting Hidalgo with Vigo and my producer, Casey Silver. And Casey asked me what I wanted to do next. And I told him the Frank Hamer story, the untold side of the Bonnie and Clyde story. And that's when it started all those years ago.
I mean, and you had slated for it. I think you wanted Robert Redford and Paul Newman. What a team that would have been. It took long enough. You had to get Woody Harrelson and, sadly, Kevin Costner.
We had Redford and Newman. They were going to do it until Paul got sick. But we're so pleased. Kevin and Woody are just, they're closer to the actual ages of the historical figures, and they're just magic.
Well, Woody in the semi-comedic role, as much comedy as we saw, we didn't get to watch the whole movie yet because we couldn't, but he kind of has that semi-comedic role, and he is so good at that.
Oh, he's just, his timing, he's the real deal. And those two guys together for the first time, you know, we had our world premiere last night here in Austin, and they just, you know, blew the roof off the place.
I bet.
Those performances.
I'm going to ask you a serious question. You've been in movies for a long time. This is coming out on Netflix when the end of the month, like March 28th or 29th, right? It'll be out?
Well, The Highwaymen with Kevin Costner, Woody Harrelson, directed by John Lee Hancock. It's going to open in select theaters on March 15th.
Okay.
In some of the bigger cities. And then it's going to have its worldwide launch on Netflix on March 29th.
And boy, Netflix has changed things, haven't they? The companies like Netflix have changed things.
As a storyteller, you know, I can just speak from my personal experience that Netflix has given me opportunities to tell stories that mean a lot to me, tell them in my way. And they've given me the opportunity to do the stuff that I love and to give it first-class treatment.
Well, like Marco Polo, you would have never, ever in the past, 10 years ago, been able to tell that story the way it was told over time, allowing it to develop. No. It would have never happened.
That's right. That's right. Thank you so much for your interest and for all that you do for horses.
Well, thank you for being on, and thank you for all you do for horses as well. As we said, it's The Highwaymen, and it's coming out the 15th in select theaters, and then on Netflix the end of the month.
I mean, and okay. Thanks for singing some John Bon Jovi with me. That just made my day.
Well, we should do like the kind of Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga duet.
Oh my God, I'm on my way to Texas right now.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, guys. Well, are you ready to spring forward your horse's health with spring vaccines? That's right. It's time to start thinking about spring vaccines. I know all you people who are buried in snow will be happy to hear that. Every horse deserves protection against common risk-based and core equine diseases. You can offer them the protection they need. Healthy as a Horse starts with spring vaccinations with the trusted vaccines available at valleyvet.com. You can offer your horse the protection they need. Vaccines are shipped overnight in insulated packaging and can be administered from home. Founded by veterinarians in 1985, Valley Vet Supply simplifies the shopping experience for the busy horse owners that don't have the time to place multiple orders or wait for slow shipping. Simplify your shopping experience and enjoy fast same-day shipping at valleyvet.com. Your one-stop shop for vaccines, dewormers, prescription medications, tack, barn supplies, and so much more. Enjoy fast and free shipping on most orders today at valleyvet.com. It's good for the people who are dying in winter to start thinking that, oh, I got to do spring stuff soon.
Oh, man. Yep. It's coming up.
All right. Valentine's Day is 1 week from today. That snuck up on us, didn't it? So I know you're not a big celebrator of Valentine's Day, but some people are, and even some horsewomen are celebrators of Valentine's Day. So I thought, for all the horse husbands out there, I owe them a service, because I'm America's Horse Husband, to find out what we should get our wives that's approved for horsewomen, because we all know they're different, on Valentine's Day. So I asked the auditors this morning, would you like to hear some of the answers?
I would love to know what fellow horse chicks are expecting, because then I'll up my expectations.
So this is where I run into a problem mentally as a horse husband. The first one, Paige says, a gift certificate to the feed store. This is where I have a problem with that. I know you guys would appreciate that, but you're going to buy that stuff anyway. Right? Am I wrong?
I would, gift certificate to the feed store, I get. However, what would even be better is if you went and bought the feed and came home and unloaded it.
Well, like, Or
I'll buy the food and just unload it.
Yeah, but then I would buy the wrong one and I'd be in trouble for that. So, you know, I ruled that one out altogether.
Okay, give me the gift card. I'll buy it. It needs to be a two-part gift.
Yeah, but
give me the gift card. I'll go buy it. I come home, you unload it.
But I often thought that, whether it's birthdays or whatever, that you need to get something that you're not going to buy anyway. Something that's unique, that you wouldn't buy yourself on a regular basis anyway. You're not going to not feed the horse because I didn't give you the gift certificate for Valentine's Day.
But I don't need crap I don't want. I don't need stuff that I wouldn't buy. If I wanted it, I would buy it. So buy me the stuff that I'm going to buy anyway, and then save me. I'm with you. Who was that? Paige? I'm with her.
Okay. Holly says, 1 year my hubby took me to Dover Saddlery and had me pick out all new grooming tools and supplies. Well, see, now that is a little bit of extra effort, right? He actually took her to Dover Saddlery. So
yeah.
So that one I can buy into a little bit more. Melanie says, see, I kind of like this one because it benefits me too. A gift certificate to get my car detailed. See, that benefits both people.
Why does that benefit you?
Because I have to ride in the car. So it benefits me too.
I would take that as an insult. Oh, really? You think my car is just so messy that that's the most important thing you can think of? Like, I would get offended.
You would too. But you know it's true.
It's not. It's my car. If I like dog prints on the back seat, then I like dog prints on the back seat. I don't understand why he will not sit in my, like, literally, if we're going to go anywhere, he has to get the vacuum out and vacuum the passenger seat if I drive. So he just drives everywhere now because I can't take it.
I would turn that around and take that as a clue that your car is a disaster.
Yeah, but it's my car.
Yeah, but
it's my car. If I want Homer hair,
your disaster.
If I want Homer hair in my passenger seat, I want a Homer ride shotgun.
Does Anna
come on.
Cringe every time she has to get into your car?
Oh my God, she loves those dogs. She would ride with him sitting in her lap, and he's 70 pounds.
Here's another one. A gift certificate to Chewy, where I get my grain, and or some Ram fencing. See, now I could get the fencing because then you're helping put it up probably, right? So that's an effort. 3 days off from cleaning stalls. Well, you know, I help clean the stalls. So I think that's a good one, I think. I think because
3 days, she's getting greedy. Valentine's is only one day. Clean the waters too.
Depends how many horses you have too.
True.
Kristen says nothing because all of her money goes to horses anyway. So mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah.
Let's see here. What's Valentine's Day? I asked for a 4-pack of Poseidon stress paste. Okay. Well, I can get behind that. That's a sponsor. We're good
with
that
one. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I like that one.
We're okay with that one. Let's see here. Dinner, alcohol, and saddle pads. This is a person after your own heart.
Oh my right God. There. That is so sexy. Dinner, alcohol, and saddle pads. That is hot. Yes. I like that one.
We usually just do dinner. We cook together. It's a rare time that we actually cook together. Now, see, my wife and I, when Jennifer cooks, she doesn't want me in the kitchen when I cook. I do not want her in the kitchen. So cooking together would be a disaster.
Like, because I go to open a drawer and guess what? He's there.
Yep.
Move over.
That's true.
And then why are you, I got to load a dish. Get out of the way.
And it doesn't matter how big the kitchen is, right? You have a huge kitchen.
Can you chop this smaller? Why are you chopping them like their fingers? Chop it.
Now, dinner out, I don't care where as long as I don't have to cook. Well, and I do think dinner out qualifies, especially when we live toward town, we went out to dinner a lot. So it wasn't, you know, it was just another dinner out. But now that we live out in the country again, we don't go out very often. So dinner outs are a big thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And there ain't no DoorDash to my house. Okay. No. Oh. No pizza delivery out here.
The in-laws were here at our new place. And Jennifer's dad the other night said, well, can we just get delivery? You don't have to cook. We'll just get delivery. And I laughed. He said, you can't even get pizza out here. I said, nope, no pizza out here either. We barely have the internet. Let's see here. Heart-shaped frosted sugar cookies so I can share them with him and the horse and a nice pair of breeches. Well, there's some random stuff.
That is random.
Jennifer doesn't want me baking. I'm not a baker. She's the baker. Let's see. A shoulder rub and champagne. I like the randomness of all of this. Jennifer did have probably the best one. She said they were at a roping event one Valentine's year, and she said her husband is a really bad gift giver. Wonderful guy, just sucks at presents 97% of the time. 3%, they're amazing. I went to hop on my mare for a run, and he had put a diamond heart necklace around my saddle horn.
I would have for not seeing that and broken that in 2 seconds. You'd have been digging it out of the arena. Nobody move.
I thought about that. I thought, yeah, Jennifer would have taken off, never noticed it, it'd be in the dirt someplace. That'd be my luck.
It would have got caught on my belt buckle and it would have popped off and it would be in the dirt and then I'd have to find it. Yeah, it'd be a big mess.
It's like those fiance or
but
those
sweet.
Boyfriends who decide to do something clever like hide the ring. And it gets lost.
And they drink it.
Yes. Or they drop the bottom of the ocean or something. Yeah. So anyway, I know you're not a big Valentine's person, but is there one that you remember stands out?
I have a question.
Yeah.
And this is a serious question to a America's Horse husband. Do men expect things on Valentine's Day?
A card, at least.
A card?
Yes.
Maybe a card and some booty? Okay.
Yes. Yes. If we're going to throw that in, that'd be great.
The range of what that second gift entails, it depends directly on how you perform in the gift giving category. Can we all agree?
Do women think that they shouldn't?
I don't know. I don't speak for all women.
I'm not talking about number two. I meant a gift in general.
Yo, I don't know. All I hear about is giving women Valentine's Day gifts. And like, there's never anything about giving a man a gift. Yeah, I just feel like there should be something else. Maybe that second thing is the something else.
Maybe.
Maybe. I mean,
now I feel like we should move on. All right, let's hear from U.S. Ryder, and we're going to come back with some really bad. We're totally going to change the tone today and go into some really bad ads.
As horse owners, we spend a lot of time on the road. Let U.S. Ryder help keep you covered. Our equestrian motor plan offers fast, reliable, nationwide service from our highly trained roadside assistance team. 24/7 coverage for both you and your horse. Membership includes horse trailer servicing, towing, flat tire repair, even on dual wheels, battery assistance, and lockout service on any vehicle in your plan. We also have your equine companions covered with referrals for emergency vet services, farrier referrals, and emergency stabling assistance. Get peace of mind on the road for you and your horse. Join U.S. Ryder today.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It's time for Really Bad Ads, that time of the week when listeners submit ads from Craigslist or Facebook or someplace, and we just have a little bit of fun with them. We have prizes every month, and everybody that sent an ad in this week will be entered toward the prizes, but I don't know what they are yet. So hopefully by next week, I'll have those nailed down. But in the meantime, if you submitted, you're in for the prizes. Like Hannah, Michelle, and Cheryl submitted. We're not going to have time to get to all of them today, but you guys are added to the prizes. And we're going to start the week off with Beth. And Beth sent this in from the Las Cruces Community Watch. And this just goes to prove that bad ads aren't exclusive to the horse world. They also apply in the car world. And I'm going to give my best shot at doing this. Does anyone have toolbox? I take alternator off my van needs one. That help, please let me know.
Now, I have been to Las Cruces, and I will guarantee you that English is not this person's first language.
Nor is the translator on their phone.
Yeah, exactly. Google Translate failed you, for sure. Savannah sent this one in. And this is from the Facebook page, All Things Horses. 19-year-old registered quarter horse, 15 hands. She is located in Como, Mississippi. She'll make a great broad mare or an experienced rider.
She's going to ride the person? I don't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's bad.
And she's very broad. So there's that. Actually, she's not so broad. She looks kind of narrow, actually.
Yeah.
Pictures.
Brood.
Paige sent this one in. We have more pages that listen to us. It's a different page than the other page. Western Pleasure Show Horses. She got an excellent paper. She got the right age and color. Good size, great mind. Walk, jog, trot, and lope. Very flat. What's very flat? She needs to be finished to be able to show. Great potential. I think she is worth $25,000. I am asking $18,000. Located in Southeast Florida, I can deliver for a fee. I bet you can. She got
now, what I love is the picture too.
Oh yes,
the picture is of a horse about 3/4 of a mile away, and somebody's riding it. I think
you see even from 3/4 of a mile away how fat that horse is. Not only does she have excellent paper, she's got and the, she's the right age and color. She got fat, really fat.
Yeah, and she's flat too, which means they hardly move their knees when they trot. Sounds real good.
See,
I love
that. The very flat was spelled wrong, and it was supposed to be fat.
No.
Oh.
No, it's flat.
Okay.
Very flat. She's a flat mover. It's like a thing.
She's
whatever.
Fat and flat.
Julia sent the next one in. Oh my God, this is a page. Arkansas Nags 1500 and down arrow emoji.
I kind of feel like only Arkansas could get away with this one.
Now, again, like we said last week, Arkansas has its own dialect. And I just, I can't do it. I can do one statement in Arkansas language. Are you ready?
Yeah.
So when driving back from the Thoroughbred Makeover, I drove through Arkansas, as I like to say, Arkansas, because it makes them all mad. So Arkansas, I was driving through there and I stopped and I got some, like went and got some snacks at a grocery store. And not a grocery store, at a gas station. And I pay for the items and the lady looks at me and she says, "Don't sack that." And I was like, I'm sorry, what? She goes, "Yon't sack that." I swear to God. And I was like, "I'm sorry, I'm not from here." That's always my answer. I'm not from here. I'm sorry.
Europe? I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm not from here. "Yon't sack that." And she holds up a bag. She's gonna sack that. Yeah. "Yon't sack at" is, "Do you want me to, would you like a bag with that?" So I don't know if I can do Arkansas. You know, it's funny. I just can't.
Jennifer and I were talking last night about how many different Southern accents there are. The South is not very big, but there's a lot of Southern accents.
Yeah, and I want to apologize because now I'm so immersed in Oklahoma that it's like the only one I can do now. I used to be able to do like 10 different Southern ones, and now it's just all
Georgia and Oklahoma. I don't think,
Georgia and Oklahoma. Here's this ad. Okay. Oh my God. There's no punctuation. Wait, hold on. Yeah, there is. Okay. "Winter. Oh my gosh. This is like a poem." "Arkansas nags 1500 and down arrow emoji. Winter will follow this dry weather and feed will be high. I have people wanting nice, gentle riding horses to ride down the road. I am not a rescue. And plan to make a small profit on them. I will also buy young horses, prefer gentle. For most of my 75 years, I have owned a lot of horses and had a horse sale here in Glenwood, Arkansas. At last count, I have 42 saddles and lots of tack." Okay. "Also, 8 Mustangs, 2 R4-year-old geldings that will make great chuck wagon team if they don't kill you trying to catch them. They will pawpaw and kick you, but no bite. Private message only."
That's kind of random, a chuck wagon team for the untrained Mustangs.
I'm sorry, are you training? There's so many more questions that I have.
Well, they're not trained, I can tell you that, but they'll make a great chuck wagon team someday if they don't kill you. That's
but there's
random.
42 saddles and 8 horses, but then there's a lot of tack. Well, the saddles are tack, and there's 8 Mustangs, but 2 or 4. What about the other ones? Are you trying to sell them? Are you trying to buy horses? Because at the beginning of that, you were trying to buy gentle riding horses. Oh, my God.
And I love how he said they will paw and kick you, but no bite. Like, that's no any bite. Worse. Than
I mean, you're
kicked.
Fine.
Kick's fine.
They don't bite.
They don't bite you. You know, kicking, you'll be you can fine. Put up with that.
Yeah.
Casey sent this one in. "Oh, it's our horse trailer of the week. Oh, it's a classic, too.
Vintage." Let me just tell you that when it starts with that word,
yes,
it is. That's not a word that goes with trailer, okay?
"Vintage pony/horse trailer. This was for $350. Vintage pony trailer, steel construction, bought years ago with the intent to cut down and use the frame and axles for a utility trailer, and it never happened." Well, it started
that's
to happen because they cut the roof off.
Yeah, you got that top half way gone.
"Tires took air but are not in good condition, which means they're flat again. Use it for your project idea. Solid steel box for storage. Wood floor, not very solid."
No kidding.
Not very redeeming, very many redeeming values about this particular trailer. Oh my God.
The top half is gone, and it is like tetanus waiting to happen.
I will say they cut the weeds around the tires so you can actually see the flat tires. So there's that. And it's steel, and it's 2-horse, and there's no hitch that works. So good luck picking it up.
Yeah, and it's 10,000 pounds. It's resting on a rock.
Okay, that's way over my allowed price. That one should be, you pay them $350 to take it away for scrap.
Yep. Sarah sent this one in, Oklahoma Farm and Ranch Facebook page. Oh, it's Oklahoma.
Oh,
and this is farm equipment. This is not a horse for sale. It's a, okay, there's pictures of like a disc that discs up the ground. And it says, 10-foot leveling disc, all grease, Zerk, take grease, good disc. What? I read it as it was written, Glenn. 10-foot leveling disc, all grease, Zerk, take grease, good disc. There you go. That can be yours for $1,500.
Wow. And that wasn't a Spanish translation problem. That was just an Oklahoma translation problem.
That was just Oklahoma.
That's pure Oklahoma right there. Rachel sent this one in. Oh, this is in North Alabama horses. Really? It is. I have this engagement ring looking to trade for animals. Show me what you have. It's a picture of a very nice heart-shaped engagement ring. Valentine's Day is coming
up. It's a teardrop.
Okay, let's talk about this one for a second. It's this person got jilted really bad because they're willing to trade chickens for an engagement ring. And by the way,
take this damn ring out of my house.
As Rachel said, how many chickens per carrot?
Yeah.
How jilted do you have to be to trade it for chickens or goats?
I mean, so here's the, I kind of thought the unspoken rule was if he breaks off the engagement, you keep the ring.
But
if
she
breaks off the engagement, or if he cheats, well, there's a couple things that are going to happen if he cheats. Okay. The ring is mine and your four tires have been slashed. I don't know how it just happened.
Are you going to trade the ring for chickens or are you going to actually sell it?
Oh, you know what? The price of eggs right now, I'm going to go with chickens.
Okay, that's the best line of the week.
Isabel sent this one in, and
okay,
this is from the
horse. That one,
it's true. Horses in North Dakota, Minnesota, South Dakota Facebook page. God, there's a Facebook page for everything. Oh, man. The person that wrote this ad, I don't want to be friends with them. I'll just go ahead and say that.
Okay.
Show me your pretty unique colored horses in four figs. No Cremilla, no plain bay, no plain sorrel, no normal pintos, no grays, no solid appies, no paints.
What's
so
that?
Tired of posting and people commenting their plain chestnuts saying, if you'd consider a chestnut, well, obviously not if I'm posting specifically looking for a certain color. You didn't look for a certain color. You just said you want unique color, but then you named every unique color and said you don't want that. Edit. I'm looking at any horse, English, Western, projects, green, finished, whatever.
Except if they're Cremello, plain bay, plain sorrel, pinto, gray, or solid appy. We don't want any of those.
Or paint. So I get the only colors I can think of would be like Palomino and buckskin. So instead of posting all that garbage, why don't you just say, I'm looking for a damn Palomino buckskin?
It took me a minute to figure out what four figs. They wrote colored horses in four, the number four figs. It took me a minute. I was going, where do Fig Newtons come in? I couldn't figure out the Fig
Newtons.
Why
does she want a cookie?
Couldn't figure that part out. Holly sent this one in. Texas Horse Trader Facebook. Our sweet Anastasia is looking for a new loving home at no fault of her own. She has been used for Amish cart pulling previously and has been ridden on trails. Our farrier came out yesterday for a trin, but only got the front hooves. She is very sweet temperament, apparently.
Except for she'll kick you.
Back hooves. We have not driven Annie, but we have a beautiful carriage for what? It seats 4 to 6 people plus the driver. I don't have much information on it either than it originally came from the Amish. Selling as a package deal. 6 hand emoji, 00 carrot emoji. So for $6,000, you can get yourself a horse that you can't touch its back feet or it'll kick your face in, which apparently is better than being bitten, we learned in a previous ad. And you get a carriage that seats 4 to 6 people, probably in black. Oh no, it's white. Well, I can guarantee you that didn't come from the Amish.
I'm like, we should send this to Robin. She's in Texas and she drives draft horses and always looks for carriages. Robin,
yeah, this
email
is a
Holly.
This is a white carriage. This did not come from the Amish, I gotta tell you.
No, that is not an Amish carriage, but it is pretty. Okay. Now, do you want to do Lorene last or do you want me to do the one I found?
Oh, you do the one you found and then we'll end with Lorene, as is appropriate.
She
deserves our respect.
Yeah. Now this is on the, so every once in a while, like on Friday mornings before the show, as I'm trying to get rid of all the dead pictures of ducks that are on my computer screen from taking the test for my son, I look on Craigslist in Oklahoma and I found this one and I just thought I should read it because you know how I love quarter horse names.
Yeah.
And am talking about quarter horse names. Okay. So the title is Horse for Sale 1200 in Minco. That's in Oklahoma. Okay. AQHA registered 2-year-old sorrel filly sired by Yellow Shot and Out of Pepper's Gay Gal. Her sire's Yellow Shot's bloodlines has Freckles, Playboy twice, Doc Olina twice, Gay Bar King, King three, other times three bars, and one other time her damn Pepper's Gay Gal has Doc Olina twice, King three, other times Doc's prescription, the old man one time and three bars one other time. World champion cutting horse Smoking Jose and Hollywood Gold in her ancestry, and her damn is also the dam of Blackjack, and you gonna drive the wheels off your truck trying to find bloodlines like these.
God, sorry. There's a lot of horses involved. There sounds like an orgy. What the heck with all those
horses? I don't know. You gonna drive the wheels off your truck trying to find bloodlines like these. At more information such as bloodlines, go to Wade. I'm gonna give the website, or you can call Wade and don't ask for more pictures because I ain't good at photography and I don't have time for it, and I don't have time to drive 10 miles toward town so my phone could load them up and send them to your phone. So if pictures is important to you, then you drive out here and you can take all the pictures you want, because I'm tired of people complaining. If you don't like the way I do things, Sid, buy your horse somewhere else.
My guess is the video's out.
Ain't getting no video, but I'll tell you what. They got a picture of the horse standing in a field with a bunch of trash in the back, and then they got a picture of these papers, and I take a look at these papers, and you write, you see Freckles, Playboy, Legacy's Candy, Hankins Gold Nugget Suit Clip Bars, Victoria's Sharpie, Elan's Playboy, Elan's Legacy, Pony Boy's Goldfish, King Clip Bar, Superstar Bro, Two Beauty Queen, Elaine's Red Shot, and his name is Yellow Shot. And it's a sorrel. You just drive your ass out there and get your own pictures, because she ain't doing it.
Oh, Lorene, you have a lot to live up to now. Let's see if you, see if you can handle being last today.
Good Friday morning. I'm going to read a really bad ad. It's Lorene Barton, and it's a Craigslist ad. And this is for a giant black Angus bull with horse, $6,500.
That's the first.
And there's a picture of a paint horse behind a wire fence. He looks really sad. And then there's a picture of a bull. They're not together in the picture. And then the bull is staring up at the camera, but all the cows around him look kind of sad and skinny. And the ad reads, both perfect and must go together, / well-proven bull, 4 years old, black and white Mustang filly, both very total price, make an offer or trade project truck / or 50 HP tractor. That's all the ad says. I don't know why these two have to go together. Like I said, they're not even together in the picture. I don't know anything about this Mustang. And yeah, that's my ad. Have a great weekend. Bye.
That's, you know what's first. Neat about that Mustang is it's sired by Yellow Shot out of Pepper's Gay Gal, and Sue Clip Bars is his granddaddy, and the King Clip Bar is his grandmama, and then you got Beauty Queen as his mama, and Elaine's Legacy and Elaine's Playboy and Yummy Noodle Butter as one of them. And
I kind of feel like the show cows are that way too.
Yeah.
And so if you want yourself a bull and a untrained Mustang, there you go.
Well,
you can
trade
for a truck,
Glenn.
Apparently, or a tractor, either one.
Yeah.
Or chickens, because as we determined, they're valuable right now. Well, that's it for today. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. Apparently, they're more valuable than the mallard ducks, which are being shot on a regular basis in Oklahoma.
Oh, so, I sent you that picture. Yeah, you can use that if you want.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Auditors, hang on. We're just going to have a very short auditor show for you today. Just a couple things that we're going to chat about. And I have something I have to play for you as well. So have a great weekend, everybody. Talk to you again on Monday.
Spade, neuter, geld. Have a good weekend. It was that or the ad about the donkey that, quote, leads when he wants to. So I think I picked it.
Yes.
He leads when he wants to.
Okay, I think I have to play this today.
time for the Auditor Post Show. We want to remind you that this is not always safe for work or the kiddos. Thanks for hanging around for our nonsense.
Did you take a minute to listen to that Reels clip that of the podcast with the two women that was posted on our Facebook page?
No, okay. I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, so this was a podcast called, I can't stop a reel, so I don't really know what it's called. I'll tell you what it's called after. Listen to it first. But you know how they just post clips of video podcasts? Well, this was one. I don't even know who the people are. So here you go. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, it's muted. Doggone it. Let me try again. Let me try this again. I forgot Facebook is muted when it comes up.
Horses. And everything you get from the vet costs hundreds of pounds more. Sometimes you can buy them stuff from the chemist for a human. And sometimes you can get human treatments for them, but you can't let the chemist know as they won't sell it to you then. So off I trot to the small village chemist. Walked in with a sense of confidence of, I'm going to get this lotion, no matter what, for 100 quid a bottle cheaper. I walk in, I say, hello. Do you stock benzoyl benzate based lotion? Comes back with a small bottle and says, yes, we have it. And I say, oh, great. Have you got a bigger bottle? As I have a large surface area I need to cover. The pharmacist says, is it for you? I reply, yes, trying to sound convincing. Anyway, I drive away and I have a sense of pride at getting the lotion at a fraction of the price. So I drive to the stables, delighted to treat said horse's itchy skin. And as I get the bottle out of the bag, I read, for the treatment of pubic lice and crab. At that moment, I realise I can never show my face or my repeatable, itchy, large, coarse, hairy surface area ever again in the village pharmacy, as they think I have a massive crab and lice infestation. So I have...
Oh my God, that is fantastic. My large surface area.
Let me give some love to the podcast. It's Luana the podcast. So I don't know who Luana is, but there you go. I don't even know who the guest was.
I gotta look that up.
It doesn't say. But
Luana the podcast. I've just Googled it.
I don't know.
Join the girls for their no holes barred rants, chats, and bants and topical stories of the week. I would have a hard time understanding. Like, I have to listen to a couple things twice.
And my guess is this is not safe for work.
Oh, no.
That's hilarious.
I will say that one of the title of the episode is My Therapist Ghosted Me. That's the only title I see.
Speaking of therapists, that's one of the announcements I have for you. Several of you from the auditor group, and new auditors may not know what this is, but have requested another WTF special. And that's where Helena and Nikki and I got together and we answered non-horsey questions, mostly therapy questions, because Nikki is a therapist and Helena and I just sit there and, you know, talk nonsense. But we're going to do one of those. So look for a post very shortly. Actually, Helena agreed to come back for it. So she said she could use some WTF. So we're going to do a WTF and we're going to solve all your other problems, your non-horsey problems. And we'll do that. That's a special coming up. And I'm going to continue doing, I've been trying to do once a month where I have guests that are podcast hosts for podcasts that are not horsey that I think you might be interested in. Like I had Vanna White's brother, this last one. And I had Scott Johnson before that. So I'm going to continue doing that once a month. And I know some of you have enjoyed it. If you don't, that's fine. You don't have to listen to them. So that's the couple of special things that we have coming up. But we'll try and get a WTF done in February. So
this her Luana the podcast is NSFW.
Yeah, I figured it was. Give us some titles.
Okay.
I played the disclaimer, so we're good.
Okay. Petty Tupperware, a planned shit gift, and on the pull in McDonald's. Water slide enemas working for a haircut and wall spraying. 1/11/18, wow. The title was, you donated a dildo to your school?
Oh my gosh. Well, we know what that show's about.
Yeah. Granny's crotchless pants.
Okay, I think we've had enough. getting a little uncomfortable over here.
So I am going to listen to the shit out of this.
The sex podcasts are having a revitalization. They're coming back. There was a period when you started talking about that other one years ago. What was the popular one that you
Help loved? I Sexted My Boss.
Yes. When that I had to be 10 that. Years ago, right? I mean, a long time ago.
It's still going.
Is it?
It's still good. Yes, I'm so happy. Jordan North and William Hansen do this podcast. It's called Help I Sexted My Boss.
I thought they'd be dead by now.
I know, but they've changed a little bit because they're both like actually busier now and kind of like famous. So, but I go back to the first episodes. They take listener questions and they drink during it. And the longer the episode goes, the drunker they get. And it is, they're British and it's hilarious. But start at the beginning, because as it gets lowered, like they kind of quit drinking now and they just kind of do the podcast and it's still really funny. But start at the beginning, Help I Sexted My Boss. But it's not about sex per se.
No, it's more of a storytelling. Kind of a storytelling podcast, actually.
It's people writing questions and then they get answered.
But they back then when that came out, there was this huge influx of sex podcasts. And then it kind of died off for a while, but they're back now because I met several of them that do them at PodFest last week.
Is it like sex instruction, sex therapy, or just raunchy?
Well, there's a lot of porn stars that start podcasts. I don't think they I think they'd go away after, you know. They get attention span's not real great with porn stars.
I don't want to know anything. I don't want to know anything about that industry. I don't.
Oh, okay. But I'm just telling you. Then there are the swinger podcasts have really taken off.
What?
Apparently, there's a whole bunch of swinger podcasts now. And I met a couple of the hosts of the swinger podcast at PodFest last week.
Wait. Okay. I'm not judging. No judgment.
Well, cool. It was kind of... Like, when they announce that, when you're sitting at the table at lunch, what do you do with that?
You just go.
Everybody was just looked kind of uncomfortable. And then, you know, you've come up with a quick question to ask that doesn't involve swinging, and you move on.
So what's this? Do you guys use Skype, or are you on Zoom? Like, how do you do it? Yeah.
What mics do you use?
What mics? Standard question. What mic and cord do you guys use?
Yeah. Are they battery? Do you have a good favorite
headphone?
Or... that was kind of uncomfortable. But there are a lot of them. There are a lot of them.
So are the sex podcasts like instructional, or are they like just talking about?
I don't know. I haven't ever listened to them.
Well, damn it, Glenn. Do the research before you bring shit to the table.
Do you want me to bring one of the porn stars on my special auditor monthly episode? Should I do that? It is video. So there's that.
No. You know what? Don't do the research. I don't want to know that you see things like that.
Speaking of that, do you know who's disappeared? Is the Hawktua girl. Ever since that crypto thing crashed and she had all the problems, she's gone. I mean, just completely disappeared.
Yeah, she got in trouble. I mean, she did something super illegal. Like, she got in bed with the wrong people.
She's not been arrested, and there's been no indication that she's going to be, but you know there's an ongoing investigation, and that's why she's disappeared.
She's disappeared, and she's counting her money that she stole from everybody.
Yes. Oh, so speaking of controversy in the YouTube world, there's this video YouTube station that we watched for years. It's about a motor yacht, a $70 million yacht that they rent out to people, right? It's kind of like, what's that show about the people who work on the yacht? Below Deck. It's kind of like that, only it's a YouTube channel that wasn't all about sex and stuff. It was just about working on the yacht. And it was kind of interesting and fun. And the captain was engaging and the cook was engaging and just fun. Well, we watched it for years and they're very popular, like a million followers on this yacht channel. And apparently the captain, they all went out drinking one night when the yacht was empty and they were in port, and they took the little, by the way, the little motorboat is worth about $2.5 million. That's the one they take out to dock to go to dinner. So they took that out, got really drunk and crashed it into the shore on the way home. And several people were hurt. Speaking of disappearing, the whole channel is gone.
Really?
Oh, it's been a huge controversy in the yacht world, and the whole channel is gone.
Let me tell you. Go ahead.
They just disappeared. So I'm sure the captain's in big trouble.
Did you know that over 80% of hunting accidents that happen are tree stand related?
I would have thought it would have been gun related, but.
And one of the things that happens is people drink when they're hunting and then they fall out. They fall out.
Is there a higher percentage of them doing that in Oklahoma, or is that just a universal thing?
I'm just doing what is on the National Rifle Association information, okay?
You're ready.
I am. I actually need to get to work here because I have a whole section on the right clothing that I need to read up on. So, yeah.
Congratulations. You made it
Stay
to
hydrated.
Another post show.
Have access Thank to clean water your when you're in the field.
Now, go ride your horse.